something, right? Yeah, he can tell you that I always believe what he says, so I tell him previously by copying me on his email, writing, I'm going to call him, right? And then, I want to trust him, but sometimes it's hard to trust something that we don't see, right? However, the Bible tells us this differently. Now, this is a strange attack on your head. There are there things that you believe in that you can't see?
But I think they have clipboards.
Yeah, clipboards from the older ones, blue ones and blue ones.
Thank you, Sam. We're going to talk a little more about that moving the polar express. Like, well, how will you break down the memories of your patients have seen and you should? I'll talk more about it in my message. Before I begin, I just wanted to point out that on the liturgical calendar, if the barn were to be following that, does anybody know the event that takes place today? It's the baptism of Jesus. So as we think about Jesus, as we come together to celebrate the baptism of Jesus, we know, as we'll talk, that Jesus came as man to prove to us that God loves us. So let's focus on that a little. We're talking about faith, is what I was asked to speak about. I call it faith, God, and the unknown, because faith is really about what we can't see. We're believing in something we can't see. And I always love when the Holy Spirit talks to me, because the Holy Spirit talks in so many different ways. But this week, I'm subscribed to this text for Narcotics Anonymous. And I get a daily text, and the text that came the other day or yesterday, I'm going to read to you. It says, some of us come into recovery weak, frightened, and insecure. We feel weak and alone. We're uncertain of our direction and don't know where to go for answers. We're told that if we find some faith and a power greater than ourselves, we will find security and guidance. We want that feeling of safety and strength, but faith doesn't come overnight. It takes time and effort to grow. The seed is planted when we ask our higher power for help and then acknowledge the source of our help when it does come. We nurture the tiny seed of faith with the sunlight of our prayers every day. Our faith grows, a reward for living life on its own terms. And one day we realize our faith has become like a huge spreading tree. And it doesn't stop the storms of life, but we know that we're safe in its shelter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I'm going to recap quickly about last week's message. So let's think about those of us who were here. What did Joanne talk about? Well, we focused on the book by Rabbi Kushner, The Nine Essential Things. And she asked us to focus on God, in particular, God's place on our faith journey. The term Lebensschlaf. Does anybody know this term? Coming from good Pennsylvania Dutch background? So the Lebensschlaf is typically, the Moravians use it often, and we document our faith journey. So we were asked to kind of focus on that faith journey, and I went back and forth with him and said, well, is it on God's place on our journey, or in our journey? Is God in our faith journey, or is he on the journey with us? Both. And a question came up last week, who is God? That's a big one. And Joe said at the start of her message, well, I have like 3 hours worth, and how much can I unpack? And I think she shorted us eventually and kept us thinking for ourselves. She asked, what would you ask God if you met God? There were some great questions that came out. A lot of people wanted to know what? Why? Why? Why is the biggest question that we have for our God? And how do we show God our love and affection? There's another thing that we talked about last week. So, just a light discussion for a Sunday morning. Thank you for challenging us. And as we talk about what faith is today, we'll do the same thing. I want to hear from you what your definition of faith is. And maybe you'll talk about, is your faith, can we get a mic out? I'm sorry, that's why it was in my own part too. Is your faith stronger than mine? How do we determine our level of faith? Right? Does it go up and down? Has your faith ever failed you? And maybe you're back again to try and regain that faith. So what do we really have faith in? So let's take some answers from the community. Tell me about faith. What is it? Anyone? More caffeine in the coffee? Someone know that. Mike, did you have one? I said, oh, I'm going to just kind of chew with me. So different to everybody. They talk about the higher power.
I think faith is a reaction to God's call. I don't think it's something that we do it, but I think according to Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, which is my favorite, God gives us the power in our heart to have faith. So I really think it's something that is a reaction to God. Because we
can see that call that we do. We seek faith.
You can seek, you can ask. Always ask, but maybe you have. You know, we don't always know what God has done in us and through us. I mean, how much do you know about yourself? Really? I mean, I know a whole lot of things about you all, about the way you move and function that you don't even know. Okay? And I'm a human. So God's work, even when we don't know it is.
And when Jesus met the woman at the well, he told her all about her. It's God's example of, I know you. And Jesus went and told the woman, oh no, I know you're divorced. I know you've had 5 husbands. husbands. I know that the man that you're living with right now, you're not married to either. And when she left, she became an evangelist because she had faith. And she said, he knew everything about me, and I had just met him. God knows.
I believe faith is like sand in the sand, and you mentioned that most importantly to me, it means believing in something which is not seen.
Yep. Does anybody want to talk about their faith failing? Caffeine's starting to work.
I think faith and trust are very closely connected, and when faith has failed me, it's because for some reason I've lost my trust. And if I can just hold on to that and realize that's what all it is, then I can redeem it.
Yep. Did we have one more creator that returned this week?
So I lost my first train of thought. I was going to respond to what the princess said. I think faith is like a gift, and everyone, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, we all receive the gift. It's, are we aware that we receive the gift, and do we open the present? Do we even know that the present is there open? Or do we ignore the present or not see it? How are there people in our lives who can help us to see that gift? And I don't know that faith has failed me. I think sometimes I have failed faith. I have failed faith in what you said, talking about like not trusting. And I think that a lot of that has to do with not knowing what's going to happen, not being sure that the outcome is going to be okay. And I lean on the verse, the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil. I'm really hanging on to that. But the Lord really has plans for good for all of us and for our world and not plans for people. And just trusting in that greater promise, I think, really, that helps us see through.
Which is why I put let go on these slides. Sometimes we just need to let go, right? So for me, faith is always changing. It could be evolving. It could be going backwards, sometimes eroding away. A lot of people we hear say, well, I lost faith in God, so I stopped going to church. But then when I started going to church again, and I'm back in community, my faith was restored. So it's always there, like we're all saying. It's an anticipation for better things to come, which is also hope. By believing that God, a higher power, will take care of me. So, we'll talk about some scriptural references to faith now. Because Joe did the same thing with God last week, so I picked up on that. In Hebrews, we hear, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Matthew tells us that whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. The letter to the Romans. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ. I'm coming into this faith thing now, right? Mark says, and Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have already received it, and it will be yours. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. For nothing will be impossible with God. Proverbs tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Corinthians 4:1. by faith, not by sight. And finally, in Hebrews, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So through all of these scriptural references, we've kind of built this new dynamic that there's a lot of facets to faith. It's a walk with God. It's trust in God. It's listening and believing in Jesus' words as those from the Father God. It's all very interesting when we put it together and start to form our own faith. Just so you know, we can all have our own faith. It doesn't have to look like someone else's or be played out like someone else's. The basic faith is trust in God and love Him. Next time. So, one more. Good. So this is almost like putting those robes on again. Last time I was here, folks mentioned when you showed up with all these robes, how glorious. Well, this is a belief system schematic. For someone who wants to figure out what their belief is, they can diagram it here. Thank you for that, folks. For centuries, Christians have presented a system of beliefs, and the system of beliefs has supported a wide range of unintended consequences. So by having a system of belief, we went from colonialism to environmental destruction. We went from subordination of women to the stigmatization of LGBTQ people. We went from anti-Semitism to Islamophobia. And we went from clergy pedophilia to white privilege. Has the schematic worked? Have we gone forward in our culture by enforcing a system of beliefs? What would it mean for Christians to really rediscover their faith, not as a problematic system that puts us in a reverse culture, but as a just and generous way of life? And it's rooted in contemplation and expressed in compassion, prayer, justice, and witness, and charity. That makes amends for all of the mistakes and it's dedicated to the beloved community for all. Could Christians really migrate from defining their faith as a system of beliefs to expressing it as a loving way of life? Is that what we've created here in this community? Possibly. Of winds. I need a bigger verse here, guys. So what are examples of faith in the Bible? We read some scriptural references, which were more like dictations. Here's how you do it. But how do we live that out? How do we live it in a loving way? So I'm going to start with a preamble. They have the mic over there. And I've got a whole crowd of Bible people sitting there, ready to tell us their story of faith. So in Hebrews 11, we hear about examples of faith in the Bible. And I'll start by saying the opening words. And so you know, I use the easy-to-read version, so if you use the online Bible Gateway, you go to the easy-to-read or the on-read version. I love it. Faith is what makes real the things we hope for. It is proof of what we cannot see. God was pleased with the people who lived a long time ago because they had faith like this. Faith helps us understand that God created the whole world by His command. And this means that the things we see were made by something that cannot be seen.
Cain and Abel both offered sacrifices to God, but Abel offered a better sacrifice to God because he had faith. God said he was pleased with what Abel offered, and so God called him a good man because he had faith. Abel died, but through his faith, he is still speaking.
Enoch was carried away from this earth, so he never died. The scriptures tell us that before he was carried off, he was a man who pleased God. Later, no one knew where he was, because God had taken Enoch to be with him. This all happened because he had faith. Without faith, no one can please God. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is real and that he rewards those who sincerely try to find him.
Noah was warned by God about things that he could not yet see, but he had faith and respect for God. So he built a large boat to save his family. With his faith, Noah showed that the world was wrong, and he became one of those who are made right with God through faith.
You know, I think it's still two more.
God called Abraham to travel to another place that he promised to give him. Abraham did not know where that other place was, but he obeyed God and started traveling because he had faith. Abraham lived in the country that God promised to give him. He lived there like a visitor who did not belong. He did this because he had faith. He lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who also received the same promise from God. Abraham was waiting for the city that has real foundations. He was waiting for the city that is planned and built by God.
Sarah was not able to have children, and Abraham was too old. But yet he made God trusted him to do what he promised. And so God made him able to have children. Abraham was so old, he was almost dead. But from that one man came as many descendants as there are stars in the sky. So many people came from him that they are like grains of sand on the seashore.
And the scripture lesson finally continues as this. All these great people continued living with faith until they died. They did not get the things God promised his people, but they were happy just to see those promises coming far in the future. They accepted the fact that they were like visitors and strangers here on earth. And when people accept something like that, they show that they're waiting for a country that will be their home. If they were thinking about the country they'd left, they would have gone back. If they were waiting for a better country, a heavenly country here on earth. So God's not ashamed to be called their God. And God has prepared a city for them. One of the first, thank you for reading, folks. One of the first chapters of this book, Rabbi Krishna says, God is not a man who lives in the sky. God is the heavenly country here on earth for us. In Proverbs, we also hear, you ignored my advice. Now, what do we know about Proverbs? Right? It's usually scolding us about something, right? You should have done this. So Proverbs says, you ignored my advice, you refused to be corrected. So I'll laugh at your troubles and make fun of you when what you fear happens. Disasters will strike you like a storm. Problems will pound you like a wild wind. Trouble and misery will weigh you down. Fools will call me, but I will not answer. They'll look for me, but they won't find me. And that's because they hated knowledge. They refused to fear and respect the Lord. They ignored my advice and refused to be corrected. They filled their lives with whatever they wanted. They went on their own way, so they will get what they desire. Fools die because they refuse to follow wisdom. They're content to follow their foolish ways, and that will destroy them. But those who listen to me will live in safety and comfort. They will have nothing to fear. Fire and brimstone there. I told you, don't do that. What are the consequences? Maybe that's not what we should be talking about. Is there really a difference between good and evil? Is that how we raise our children is either good or it's bad.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe we're getting smarter about this and saying, well, if I have faith and believe that things will change, if I love, then I will improve the way I live. Follow me is what God says in that scripture. And Jesus was the example for that. So, if you just believe, Psalm 23. How many times have we heard this? So God's asking you to believe and trust, to have faith, to stand when He walks into the room. We asked last week, the community, how do you show God your love? And Job said, well, if God were to walk into the room, would you stand up? God knows that your faith is going to falter and wane, and it isn't constantly 100%. So who can admit that their faith has diminished at times in their life? How do you get it back?
What do you mean?
No,
a stretch, or?
Yeah.
Anyone share how their faith just slipped away? Don't believe you, God. No. Kushner's first book. Joe mentioned it last week. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because his son died of this horrible disease. Do you think he's not going to lose faith? I got a great story. I'm going to get into this. My full-time job, I travel internationally. But one man, president of a company I worked with, is an Orthodox Jew. And he hosted this fabulous steak dinner in New Orleans for a bunch of executives. I'm sitting at the table, and he sat down and he took the menu and he called the waiter over. There was nothing that he could eat on the menu because none of it was kosher, and there wasn't even those little things that you could kind of slip in there. I think he could have a beer. It's not the only thing. According to his faithful religion, that he could eat. Tablecloths, waiters everywhere. He said, oh, I'll be back in a minute. And he went to his bags that were on the coat check, and he came back with a package and gave it to the waiter. It was his dehydrated kosher meal. And the waiter took it to the kitchen, and they microwaved it, not opening it in any way, and served it to him, along with all of our filet mignons and crab meat and everything else. And he's eating his kosher meal. I told him, about a month after that, at the meeting, I pulled him aside and I said, your faith amazes me. Why do we think we're reading Jewish authors? Because their faith seems so much stronger than ours. Through these examples, I said, it's easy for me to walk around the street as a Christian. I don't need to wear red gear and pearls and prayer shawls. It's not obvious to anybody that I'm a man of faith. It's easy to be faithful. Go ahead, Vincent.
I'm kind of piggybacking on that. I think faith is an action as much as it is a noun. And that a lot of people use faith, and I know I have, by getting too involved in the world and life and not keeping my faith muscles, as it is, not keeping my faith muscles active. It's so easy to drift away from prayer, so easy to drift away from the Holy Spirit and following His guidance. And when we're in trouble, when we're in pain, we're pretty good at getting closer to God, and our faith gets pulled forward for most of us. I know that does for me as well. But I feel really interesting that you're saying all this today, because I feel like in the last few weeks, God has really been working with me and saying, you got to get going, kid. You got to get back to your practicing your real faith, not just, I mean, it's good to be really nice to other people, whatever your ministry is. I mean, y'all do so many wonderful things, and they know that signs of your deep faith. I'm a different walk a little bit. Y'all know I'm crazy. Anyway, but So God, the way he uses me, I need to get to that. The way he uses you, I believe. Your faith has a special way of being.
They don't all look the same.
They don't all look the same. But if you drift away from it, and it's so easy in this world, there's so much to entertain you. You can even get too busy with the Lord's work and drift away from faith. I think that's really true. So that's me. That's how I have drifted away. I say I'm sorry, Lord. I know I drifted away. And I'm trying to get back. And to the song this morning, thank you guys, was so online for me. It was just perfect. And I really thank you for your following, your faith, and bringing that message to me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So let's continue, because otherwise we'll be here until the sun goes down. So I mentioned that today on the liturgical calendar is Christ's baptism. So we just celebrated Christmas a few weeks ago, the birth of Jesus Christ, the start of the Christian calendar. And the reason why God sent Jesus to earth is so that humans could relate to a God that is far beyond any rational thought. If we believe that Jesus came as God's physical representation, what I might call this force field of love, a very relatable and personal God, because I don't get it, this intangible God, I don't understand. So this is why Christians have both Jesus and Christ. Jesus, the baby's name. Christ, meaning Savior. In Jesus, God was given a face and a heart, someone we could trust in one moment of time, which is why it's documented in so many books. It's called the Bible. Christ is God's presence incarnate in all creation, before and beyond time. So last week, glad you're back up front again, how does it tick, talked about Jesus' coming as an important understanding to God. By Jesus coming, I can understand God now. That's why he came. That's why we celebrate. That's why everything that happens to this guy, Jesus, we want to know about. Today he's baptized. So what? Well, because it's fulfillment of Scripture. But do we remember how the story ends? How did Jesus' story end? We never forget that. We know that. There's icons that represent that everywhere in our life. Jesus came to be the Christ, to release us. So if we believe in God, that God sent Jesus Christ to be an example for us, then it's our faith. We therefore need to trust that God is going to take us through the unknown journey called life, our faith journey, and we must believe and trust. So this reminds me of that remarkable Christmas movie. How many people have seen Polar Express? Okay, a few of you. So I'll give you a quick recap. My home church in Forks actually adapted it as their children's play for this Christmas. And I wondered, that's really interesting. And I'd never seen the movie, so I went ahead and watched it before I saw the children do this. It's based on a popular children's book. And it's a cinematic piece that tells the story of a pre-adolescent boy on Christmas Eve who is jettisoned into disbelief in Santa Claus. He's going to bed Christmas Eve and he says, I don't believe that there's a Santa Claus. And he goes to sleep and he has this fantasy dream in the middle of the night. And he's boarding a mystery train in a snowstorm. He's joining several other youngsters in a thrill-a-minute excursion to the North Pole to see Santa Claus and the elves. And obviously the plot's basic premise that the Christmas spirit is all wrapped up in Santa Claus, or is it in human kindness that we should be concerned about? You know, it's entertainment, right? That's all this movie is. No hint is given in the film of the real story behind the special time. time of year, the birth of Jesus Christ. And if God had only sent his only Son to live and die for us, our world would still lie in what? Complete spiritual darkness, a lack of faith. I don't get it. It's not relevant to me, this God thing. The happiness and generosity that we celebrate at Yuletide would be virtually non-existent if there was no baby Jesus and Jesus the Christ. The movie maker chose to create a space where the glorious good news of the baby in the manger is totally ignored. It's even expunged. It's not in the movie, and I wonder why. Was the book writer Jewish? There's nothing wrong with St. Nick and all of this Christmas cheer, but when society really minimizes or brushes aside the fact that the Christ child came to grow and die so that people's lives could be altered, it kind of undercuts all that real joy and peace that we're supposed to be experiencing at Christmas. And there's that business, right? The conductor has this ill-fitting statement to the lad as the midnight trip comes to an end. The conductor says to the boy, one thing about trains, it doesn't matter where they're going. What matters is deciding to get on. It doesn't matter where the train's going, but are you on it? It doesn't matter where the main journey is going into the unknown, but are you getting on it? Which was the mere hint in that movie that God was evident. Even though we don't talk about the Christ child, God is evident. The underlying thesis that believing is seeing is very significant. And only when the main character puts aside his doubt about the existence of Santa Claus did you actually see him and get to relate to him. And interestingly, Jesus asserts that only childlike faith would propel us into the kingdom of God. Does Jesus not call us his children, even though we're old? Maybe there is Jesus and God in this movie after all. God can't be seen as much as Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, or the Easter Bunny. It can't be adequately explained or proven intellectually, so we have to trust. Last slide to wrap up. So once captivated by this movie, enough that we're going to adapt it to become our children's play, perhaps at Christmas, more than any time of year, we yearn to possess that fulfillment and satisfaction of joy and peace deep down in our hearts. It's possible. It can be found in a personal relationship with Christ. And just as Santa Claus gave the young boy a beautiful bell as a continual reminder of their meaning, God places within Christians the Holy Spirit as a perpetual foretaste of the fabulous future that awaits us. So don't overlook that. When the Holy Spirit rings a bell, whatever that bell looks like, answer the call. Be the minister. Of course, there's ups and downs and thrills and spills, just like in the movie, the train gets stuck on the ice and has to get up the hill and all this other stuff. That's like our faith journey, isn't it? I'm going to lose faith sometimes. It's going to be stronger. I'm going to walk away from you, God, because I don't believe you. But God challenges us and asks us to learn and to stretch. All the while, God guarantees that we're going to reach the destination. Get on the train, you're going to reach your destination. Don't know what it's going to be. Maybe that place is heaven here on earth, as Rabbi Kushner tells us. Are we not building heaven here? If it were possible. God is with us, but we need to surrender to God. Amen. Thank you for letting me talk to you. Can we prayer? Please look for me.
Request that we have paper chat. was Cindy's mother-in-law. She's having hip replacement surgery on the 24th of January. We keep her in prayer. Keep Kenny in prayer and the things that he's going through in our prison system and all those that have to navigate the prison system. Keep Elizabeth in prayer as she is attending college in Tennessee and finding her way. Australia and the fires and the things that they're going through there. Puerto Rico in their third earthquake in a matter of a couple days. The victims of the Ukrainian airline, the 176 people that died on that airplane, a large majority of them Canadian Iranians. Climate control, 66 degrees in January, climate failure. This isn't normal. Our service members that are in harm's way and the things that they're dealing with every single day and the uncertainty of their lives. The homeless that we see that are in different areas and something as small as a gift card that can help their turn their world upside down and put a smile on their face. The Iranian Americans here that are going through racism and hate just because of their country of origin. Mental illness is happening all around us in broken relationships and families. We keep these all in prayer. You can bow your head. Heavenly Father, help us in the world to restore faith where faith seems to be lost, where the darkness is all around us. Let us be the beacon for that love and show people back to your world, to the love that you had, for everything that you have in store for them, to believe that there are opportunities for things to change, for us to live in harmony and love, that this is the plan that you have for us, not the plans that we may have for ourselves, but the plan that you have for us of a loving, healthy, growing world where we can be hand-in-hand and be individuals and understand that that's okay. We don't have to look the same. We don't have to worship the same. We don't have to love the same. But in your eyes, through your love, we are the same. And I thank you for this and all things. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So on the clipboards, So time for questions, and so there somewhere you can write questions.
Yellow sheets.
Thank you, community. So it's our time for offering. It was so good to be part of your business meeting last week and hear all the things going on here in your community.